Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
This is the season. My name is Wednesday. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve, they brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch at a homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I come down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're going to have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
All the trimmings. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Ever notice what, Frank?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Mm-hmm. Scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them carrot sticks. You know them little carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Olives, pickles, scallions.
Mm-hmm. Let's not go through that again.
Love to have you. Go through what again, Joe?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh. You noticed that too, huh, Joe?
From the beautiful Showcase Studio on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop, in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, and bedecked with energy-saving LED wingnut-detecting holiday lights, it's the Mike Novak Xmas Extravaganza. Featuring producer Heather Fry, who will tell us repeatedly how adorable her 2-year-old son William looks under her eco-friendly Xmas tree, and who will insist on trying to show photographs to the listening audience over the radio. Meteorologist Rick DiMaio, who, for the second year in a row, was asked to come up with a special holiday talent for the show, and who, for the second year in a row, probably put it out of his head 5 seconds after he was asked. With special guests, Joe Hygin from Shady Hill Gardens in Elburn, the town that time forgot, who will give you his recipe for a cream of poinsettia soup. Gardening talk show host Scott Austin from the Okanagan Valley of British Columbia. We're not exactly sure why he's here, but he'll be great, trust us. And you, the listener, with your questions and comments at 773-838-9278, but don't expect to get paid for it. And only once before performed on the radio, and that tape was lost in a tragic plastic recycling incident, Mike's one-man, 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. Gather the kiddies now and put them in a safe place, and don't let them out until 10 o'clock. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by SIDS, Chicago's premier garden centers, and by The Care of Trees, our business is people and their love for trees, and by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Now, here he is, a warped, frustrated, middle-aged man who's never been asked to play any reindeer games. Because he cheats. Mike Novak.
Big finish.
Awesome.
Not as awesome as your program, dude.
Oh, no. Career's over, friend.
I know, but it was a great career while it lasted, right?
It was a nice... It was like a comet.
You had... That's Mike Sanders sitting next to me, Mike Novak here. I wanted to chat with him briefly about the extravaganza. This is a 2-hour extravaganza, but not nearly as much preparation. You worked for 6 months on that thing that we...
6 months, but it took me 3 days to do it. Yes.
Yeah, the prep. The creative juices had to be flowing for 6 months.
My bags have bags under them. Yes.
Democracy Burlesque?
Yes. They're a charity organization. Actually, they help organizations raise money so that they can give it to charity organizations.
So it's hard. Wait, they help organizations raise money?
Raise money to give to charity
organizations. And they do that by performing these kinds of things.
I believe 50% of everything they make goes directly out.
Well, if you missed it, and what we're talking about, if you just tuned in for the Mike Novak Show, Our Town beforehand, Mike Sanders and Julia Hsu every week introducing you to all kinds of terrific organizations that do a lot of good in the Chicago area and sometimes nationally.
Yes.
And this week you guys kind of, well, you went with, this is another organization that does good, except they do it in their own peculiar way.
They do it in their, I call you guys lefty, not necessarily you, Mike, it's the lefty egghead crowd. They think a lot, but they feel a lot.
Those crazy ivory tower liberals,
but
huh?
But they just feel in a way that most people don't understand, so I thought I'd showcase their talents.
Wow. Well, congratulations, because I've really enjoyed working with you. The great thing about that show is that you managed to honk off just about everybody, I'm sure.
I believe everyone's a little mad.
I think you covered the dial.
Yeah. Yes.
And for the whole spectrum of people. In fact, there is a burning spectrum that's been left on our doorstep. It's on fire right now.
The guy was calling all day. He's like, what's that? What's this? What's that? I'm like, I don't know, sir. I'm not sure.
What do you mean?
He was calling the studio line. You know, hey, what was that? What did they just say? I mean, really? I'm like, it's a joke.
Well,
I disclaimered everything
about 500 times.
Yes. At the beginning, I disclaimered it and said, hey, if you're easily offended, do not listen to this. If you're not even easily offended, don't listen to this. If you like South Park, you liked it. If you don't like South Park, you hate it.
South Park is kind of an acquired taste.
But it's highly rated. Isn't the liberal media about ratings?
You're asking me?
I don't know.
I don't have any ratings. How would I know about that?
Where's Rick DeMaio?
Yes. He'll be here at 8:30. Thank you for that segue. As a matter of fact, let's get Joe Hygin on the phone, okay? Thank you for tuning in, and it's the holiday. Am I allowed to say Christmas, Mike? Am I allowed to say Christmas?
It's encouraged.
It is?
Yes.
On your show?
It is. Okay. I mean, Merry Christmas to everybody.
But anyway, Hanukkah is either just wrapping up.
It just wrapped up, I believe, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Two days ago was last night, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure, because
I'm not Jewish.
I'm not even sure when Christmas is, to tell you the truth. So
I'm not getting any
it's
presents.
It's this
I'm
week,
a dad.
Right?
Yeah, dads don't get presents.
Yeah, okay. This is my annual Christmas extravaganza, probably in name only. I mean, I really don't. You know what? We'll see what Rick DeMaio comes up with in terms of a talent, a skill. Mm. That's right. You need the phone number, don't you?
Yeah,
if you're going to do that, okay.
Oh, without a phone number.
Okay, great. I'm sitting here holding that. Joe Hygin from Shady Hill Gardens is here. I mean, we are doing the Christmas extravaganza. Actually, I call it the X-mas, extravaganza. If you heard the announcer Gavin Carroll there, X-mas extravaganza, just so I can offend as many people as possible as well. Joe Hygin from Shady Hill Gardens in Elburn is here. Well, even though it's the extravaganza,
hello, Joe.
We're going to answer some gardening questions. He's going to be here. Hand me that cheat sheet. I know I got two versions of it. I can't even figure out. Scott Austin from Art Knapp's Plantland and Flower Shop in the Okanagan. That's it. Okanagan Valley. Oh, the Okanagan Valley. In British Columbia, Canada, I guess that's the way they say it. And we're not sure why he's going to be here, but he will be. So we will have him on later. And then, of course, in the second hour, something I have not done in about 9 years, which is the...
Shower? Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Christmas baddies. I'm sorry.
Ow.
Hey, but Heather's here.
Hey, that's good.
She's coming in. She did some paperwork. She's coming in now.
Well, we just proved that we don't need her, right?
Hey, don't leave, Heather. I've got to use
the bathroom. What, you got wipers there? Windshield wipers. Oh, she's got them in her hands. That's not a good thing.
You stole somebody's wipers.
We'll have a... But I am going to do the radio version of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. And that will be in the second hour, probably around 9:30.
That I can't wait for.
The whole movie in 10 minutes. Maybe we'll even run a clock at it.
And you do awesome. It's a treat to hear. I heard you practicing in the hall.
I wasn't.
You were practicing.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm on autopilot. I have no idea when I'm practicing and when I'm not. All right, so that comes all up on the show today. Let us go immediately to line Q. That's because that's the one that's not labeled. And Joe Hygin, how are you doing, Joe?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
I'm great.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays from Shady Hill Garden, or to Shady Hill Gardens in Elburn. How's things out there in the Poinsettia Ranch?
We're doing okay. We've got a lot less poinsettias than we did before Thanksgiving, and that's the goal, so we're doing all right.
I don't know if you folks have ever been out to Shady Hill. You need to go if you're out Elburn way, and even if you're not, make it a destination, because it's I call it the Crystal Palace out there. On what route again?
Route 38, Roosevelt Road.
That's it, the old Roosevelt Road, which comes, you know, trundling through Chicago here. You just take it straight out if you want. No, nobody's going to do that.
I wouldn't think.
No. It'll take you about 4 days to get to your place.
Yeah.
In the old days it didn't, but now it would. You guys are the geranium specialists, so during the regular season it's mostly geraniums.
Yep, geraniums and other plants.
But at this time of year, you guys grow, or you have poinsettias, and because you've got this beautiful state-of-the-art facility, you grow a lot of those yourself, don't you?
Oh, we grow all of our own poinsettias. I mean, we get rooted cuttings in starting in July. We start planting, and then we're usually done planting by the end of August, beginning of September. But, no, we grow them all on ourselves.
And we should get some things out of the way first. Website, shadyhill.com.
Yep.
Phone number, Joe?
630-365-5665.
But the important number right now is 773-838-WCPT, 773-838-9278. If you have a question for Joe, you got a holiday plant, you want to get a holiday plant, you don't know what to do with it, there's your guy. He's right there. And now you guys are open. You're an interesting garden center in that you're not open year round. You kind of selectively choose the times you're going to be open, don't
there
you?
There you go. We try and kind of base it around the time when people need stuff. And so we will close this Wednesday, the 23rd. We're open all that day, and then we close. And we'll open again, it's usually around April 1st or sometimes as early as like March 25th, kind of depending on how the date falls in the week. But we'll figure that out and announce that in the next couple of weeks, and then we stay open from basically April 1st through the 4th of July.
That's interesting, because even that doesn't seem like a long time. Is this... It's an interesting business model, and
it is,
I don't know that anybody else does this in the area the way you guys do.
Well, but, I mean, here's what we think. I mean, we used to be open from, you know, April 1st through the end, through mom time, through the fall.
Uh-huh.
And in July and August, people are done planning. If they're looking for anything, they're looking for replacements for things that died or a little sprucing up or something like that. And I don't know if it's something more recent, but gardeners have definitely become conditioned that after the 4th of July, everything should be at least half off, if not more. So it's hard to maintain a stock of plants and employees and everything like that and expect to make that much less. So we always kind of chuckle and say, when people call and say, oh, we're closed at the 4th of July, the most common response that we get is, I never knew that. And we say, yep, exactly.
Well, you know, everybody's got their own business model, and it's just a little different for everybody. And
for sure.
And, for instance, great sponsor on the show, SIDS, they're not open on Sundays. And you just think, well, that's, you know, you're allowed to give your employees Sunday off.
Exactly.
If you want, except that they're open all year round. So it's a different thing.
Yep.
All right. Poinsettias. Let's get it. Okay, first question is, I had a question a couple of weeks. No, it was last week, I guess. It was actually, Heather, it was your question, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
About poinsettias and the whole myth about them being poisonous.
Yeah.
What do you tell people, Joe?
I tell people, you know what, that is the most commonly held myth, and you can tell people till you're blue in the face and they look at you like, yeah, right, you sell poinsettias. But as far as anyone can tell, it goes back to the early 1900s, and some child on a military base in Hawaii died, and they attributed it to eating a poinsettia, and nobody seems to know why. But since then, I mean, like, if you go on Snopes, or if you go on USDA, or if you go on the Poison Control Index from the United States, they'll all tell you, no, that's not the case. They're not poisonous. The United States Veterinary Association says, no, they're not poisonous to pets. But people, it's, I don't know,
those
you kind of give up.
I know, you cannot.
Here's the best thing. There's a guy from Equi Poinsettias who, they're a big breeder of poinsettias in California.
They're probably, aren't they the biggest?
By far, yes.
Yeah.
And his favorite thing is to, when somebody really is adamant and argues with him,
yeah,
he takes the leaf off of a plant and eats it in front of them. And so that's, you can see that on YouTube. There's a number of people
really?
Eating poinsettia plants.
Heather, see if you can track that down here. It's not we're going to be able to show it to anybody here, but
there's a guy
you
named,
can put it on your website.
Yep.
There's a guy named Chris Bates who writes for an industry magazine called Grower Talks, and he did it, and it's on YouTube. His last name is Beytes. If you look on there, you'll see it.
Wow, I think we're going to have to put that on the website, too.
So,
now, do they dip it in a little Hidden Valley ranch dressing? No.
Supposedly, they just have kind of a bitter radicchio-type flavor.
That's Mitch. Who's Mitch? We've got, that's, not, no. Well, there's some guy named Mitch is eating a poinsettia.
He could possibly be the guy from...
Eckies?
Yeah, I don't know the gentleman's name from there.
Yeah, I'm looking at a guy... What is that?
Keep watching. See if he dies.
Oh, he just keeled over.
It all went to black.
No, he seems to be quite fine, and he looked like he was wearing a racing suit. Maybe it's a race car driver. I don't have any idea, but we'll find.
Here it is.
Oh, here's eating. Who's this one? Is this Chris?
This is Snow Mestias from Equi Ranch and Growers Talk editor Chris Bates.
Right,
yeah,
Bates.
Enjoying
yeah.
a meal of poinsettia leaves to prove that they are not poisonous.
Oh, they got a whole meal of it. They got the... Oh, and everybody's, like, grabbing some, and they're sharing.
Yeah, and when I looked at that, it was on YouTube, and I think it had, you know, a few hundred views.
So if you folks are worried, go to YouTube and take a look.
653 views.
There you go. We need to like... get a lot more than that.
Yeah, all right. Now, the other thing you and I have talked about over the years, because you have come to the show and brought the various kinds of poinsettias that are out there each season, and sometimes you come in spring. Joe is the harbinger of spring.
Yes.
So, but spring didn't come. You know what? I didn't have you on the show this
spring
year.
Spring never came.
And spring never came. I should learn my lesson. So next year, Joe, you're going to be on the show again.
For sure.
I want spring. I read someplace recently that overwhelmingly folks want red. They sometimes drift away from the red poinsettias, and you've got all these spectacular colors, but nobody can seem to pull people away. You know, you've got the mauves and the whites and the pinks, and then you get the blue speckled, but those aren't really blue.
Right.
They've been painted. Where are they? Are they still on red? Is that what they're buying from you this year?
Yeah, I mean, we still predominantly grow probably between 70 and 75% red. And the thing that we definitely see is the larger the size of the poinsettia, the more traditional people are. So in the smaller sizes, like a desk size, or we grow a size called teacup, people definitely like the unusual and unique colors. But the bigger the poinsettia gets, the more apt they are to buy red, for sure.
I'm betting that what they do is buy the big red ones and then maybe a little pink one or a little white one. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of the specialty or unique colors kind of have a short, not short, but they have a lifespan where they're introduced, they're somewhat popular, and then they kind of trail off. Like a number of years, there was kind of a lavendery purple one called Plum Pudding.
Yeah.
And it's all but gone. There was one.
Really? They don't. It's really not out there anymore, huh?
Yeah. There's just no demand for it. And there was one called Cinnamon Star that was kind of a, like. It had a little bit of a, like, nutmeggy, brownie red cast to it, and it was popular, and now it's kind of gone by the wayside. And then Cortez Burgundy has been really popular the last few years, but there's a new one now called Prestige Maroon, and I think that'll kind of take it over. I don't know. It seems like those colors seem to be a lot more fad-oriented.
Then there's the Bugs Bunny color, Ultra Maroon.
Nice.
What a maroon.
What a maroon. Yeah, I like
what
that.
What an ultra maroon.
Yeah, but we sell about 70-75% red and 10-15% white, and then all the other colors fall into that last little
bit. The one I do like, but it's red, is the rose-shaped one. Does that do okay?
I would say that's kind of going the way of the fad thing.
Really?
Winter rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very popular, and we still grow it, but I only grow it in a couple sizes now. And, you know, after the red one came out, then there was a white winter rose and a pink winter rose, and those are not, to me, that popular at all. There was a new one this year, and, you know, when they're new, you never know exactly how they're going to perform or what they're going to look like, so we don't order them in huge quantities. But it's called Ice Punch, and we're sold out of it. It's a really good kind of rosy, cherry red, and then it's got an irregular white marking in the center of each bract of the flower. It's
yeah.
really cool looking. And more importantly, it's a nice growing plant. It seems like so often you'll get a very unique color or unique flower shape, and it's just on the most pathetic looking plant. and that seems to be the way, but this one is definitely not the case.
Well, that's something to talk about, too. That is to say, growing a poinsettia, because folks get their poinsettias, and, you know, nobody wants to throw out a live plant. Well, I suppose there are some evil people that would do that, but, you know, people want to hang on to it. And what happens, unfortunately, a couple of things is, first, there are the people who put it in the windowsill and then never water it, and eventually all the leaves drop off. And then there are the people who put it in the windowsill and water it every day, and it drowns and all the leaves drop off. And then there are the folks who really want to make a go of it, and they have no clue. So if somebody wants to grow a poinsettia, and this is something else that you should know if you're listening to the program and you've never heard my show and you've never heard Joe, never heard anybody talk about poinsettias before. If you want to get it to rebloom, be prepared to work at it.
I was going to say, pretty arduous task.
Yeah, it's jumping through hoops of fire, all right? But you can get it to continue to grow. That's easy. Getting it to bloom again is a different story. So let's talk about getting it to grow after the holiday season, or keeping it alive through the holiday season to the spring. What would you say, Joe?
You know what? They're not that finicky a plant. I mean, they will, they want a fair amount of light, and like you said, they don't want to be bone dry or floating. But other than that, they're not too finicky, and if you can get it through to the spring, the best thing you can do in the spring is take it outside. Because they're a plant that's native to Mexico. They definitely don't mind heat, humidity, sun. They're not that hard. You know, the red or colored bracts will kind of fade, and you'll get new green growth above that. And
what folks are going to ask is, and we'll go to Heather, who's got her hand up in a second, but they're going to say, well, should I leave it in the pot or should I plant it in the yard? And you can actually plant it in your backyard if you want.
Oh, yeah. If you plant it in the yard, it'll get good 3-3.5 feet tall.
Yeah, and they're actually kind of nice accent plants. But by the time you get it to the spring, you probably should pinch it back a little bit, right?
Yeah, because otherwise it'll get a little bit leggy.
That'll happen. Now, Heather, you did have a question for Joe?
Well, my question is, how did a plant that's native to Mexico become like the international Christmas flower?
Wow, very good question, Heather. We like that. There was a guy named Joel Poinsett, and he was from South Carolina, and he was either congressman or senator in the late 1800s. And then after he retired, they made him the first ambassador to Mexico. And he went to Mexico, and he saw these growing all over. They're like weeds down there. And he brought some of them back to his greenhouse, and he fiddled around with them, and he decided that he wanted to make it a Christmas flower because they don't need artificial light. They just need natural day lengths to bloom at Christmas time. And so it was named after him, obviously, the poinsettia. And then the Ecke family in California, they're either third or fourth generation now. They're the ones who kind of took the ball and ran with it, and they're very much credited with making it the popular pot plant that it is today.
Guess what? Kathleen is on the job. Even as we speak, the poinsettia eating on YouTube has now been posted on my website.
Excellent.
MikeNowak.net. MikeNowak.net. Scroll down, and we got two YouTubes up there. One of the one you might want to look at, Joe Hygin from Shady Hill Gardens, and that is a few weeks ago. My friends were on the program, and we did a thing called Green Acres: The Next Generation. And Kathleen, you didn't put my little description up there that I sent you for Green Acres: Next Generation. So maybe she'll add that as well. But they were in studio, and it's Mr. Haney meets Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Wow.
From the Starship Enterprise. It's actually pretty funny. It's about 4 minutes long, and we're trying to make it go viral. Well, at least get 20 people to look at it. And that's viral in my world.
Yeah. Well, if you would have been Zsa Zsa Gabor instead of Mr. Haney, I think you would have had a better time.
Well, I didn't play any of the roles.
Oh, okay.
I just sat there and watched it. Well, gosh, how time flies, Joe. We're out of time.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else we need to let people know before I let you go about holiday plants. I mean, they probably already got the Christmas tree, so that's, you know, keep that hydrated.
Exactly.
What else is selling right now? What else have you got there that's doing, that people like, Christmas cactus?
We sell Christmas cactus and amaryllis. Those are the two things that, other than poinsettias, that we grow. So
and say in comparison to poinsettias, how well do those guys do?
Well, we just don't grow anywhere near as much in quantity, but I think both of them are popular because they're pretty easy. I mean, a lot of people have Christmas cactus. I know, don't you have one that's pretty old? I mean, people have them that are generations old because they're pretty tough to kill.
I don't know what happened to mine. I think I killed it.
Oh, no.
I used to have one, and I don't know what I did with it. And I think when I moved, it might not have made the...
It didn't make the cut?
No, I probably looked at it and went, you don't look as good as my other plants, so you're not coming with.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more brutal than some people. It's like, if it's not making me happy, out you... Compost pile. But you know, it's I can put stuff back into the compost pile and know that it's being put to good use.
Well, I can kind of embarrassingly say we grow a little bit over 15,000 poinsettias at work, and I don't have one in my home. So how about that?
Well, you see them every day.
I know.
Why would you do that? I mean, well, you know, it's like. It would be a busman's holiday kind of thing. I don't exactly know how that works, but it wouldn't be a holiday. It would be like taking work home, so to speak.
Go.
Do we have a question there before we let him go?
Well, PJ was curious. How do you get the poinsettia to rebloom? How exactly do you do it?
Oh, she wants us to go into that.
Yeah.
PJ,
yeah.
You know, PJ. Okay, go ahead, Joe. Give me the Reader's Digest version of that.
Condensed. Basically, the most important time period, September 20th till October 20th, which I guess is really early, but that's when the poinsettia initiates flower. From that period, September 20th till October 20th, the plant needs 13 hours of dark and 11 hours of light, which basically mimics the natural light at that time of the year. And you have to be vigilant about it. Whether you leave it in an empty room or spare room that doesn't get any artificial light at night, or you put a box over it or whatever, but even if you miss a couple days, or if you miss by a few hours a couple days, it will delay the blooming. But that's basically it. 13 hours of light, 13 hours of dark, 11 hours of light, September 20th till October 20th.
And, PJ, you cannot let any light get into it during the dark period or it just doesn't work.
Right.
So you got to be really careful about that. And that's why it's so tough. And that's why Joe said, if you got a room that you don't use, meaning you don't use it ever at night, so you're not going to go in and turn on the light and go, oh, whoa, sorry about that, poinsettia.
Right.
Otherwise, you have to very carefully each day put it in the dark, and then exactly 13 hours later, give it some light, that's really hard to do.
I think if you have a large glass building in the middle of a cornfield, that really works the best, because that's what we do.
Wow,
that might help.
I'm going to get me one of them. That's Joe Hygin from Shady Hill Gardens. Hey, Joe, say hi to the whole family for me, will you?
I will. Merry Christmas to you and Kathleen and everybody else.
And Merry Christmas to you. www.shadyhill.com. Give me the phone number one more time.
630-365-5665.
And you guys are open through Wednesday, right?
You got it.
So stop on by and clean up the rest of the poinsettias. Make them happy. They don't want to compost them either, and Joe doesn't want to take them home.
Nothing prettier than an empty greenhouse.
That's great. Take care, Joe. I'll talk
Thanks,
to you soon.
Mike. Bye-bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Rick DeMaio is standing by with the weather, and we will get to that in a second. Since 1997, WRD Environmental has been creating healthy, sustainable landscapes that are both beautiful and responsible to future generations. You could say WRD is in the business of transformation. Sometimes it's through projects like the Lincoln Park South Pond, for which WRD is part of a team that is turning the zoo's popular pond into a model for sustainable landscape solutions, habitat restoration, and environmental learning. Other times, it's through leadership in organizations like the Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association, which is working to green up the landscape industry so that sustainable design, materials, and methods are the professional standard. Sometimes the transformations are of people themselves. WRD is a partner with the Chicago Department of Environment in managing Green Core Chicago, which provides job training in the green industry, electronics recycling, and home weatherization. For innovative, sustainable transformations, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology and online at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Logan Square's Cafe Bella is all about wonderful food at highly affordable prices. There are Latin, French, and Italian influences in Chef Cesar Casas' decadent sandwiches and wraps, bruschetta and mango-fused guacamole, all served with great coffee. For the tilapia provençal or salmon filet, you may want to BYOB. Cafe Bella, 3311 West Fullerton, just east of Kimball. Go to cafebellaonline.com or call 773-292-5040. Cafe Bella. For gourmet, healthy eating.
Our star will return in just a moment. Every year, some Christmas celebrations are ruined by fire. A little precaution can prevent a Christmas fire from happening in your home. First of all, make sure your tree is on a firm foundation so it can't fall over. Then be sure to use only approved lighting. Wiring that's frayed may be dangerous. Replace it. Never use lighted candles. Let all the glow of Christmas come from within, not from fire. With a safe Christmas plan, here's an idea for Christmas giving.
The Christmas tree's on fire. It's burning down the house. Flames are getting higher, and I'm trying to put it out. I'm beating it back with a tube sock and a cushion off the couch. The Christmas tree's on fire, and it's burning down the house.
Yee-hee! Woo!
How's that for a segue? All right, let's go to line one. To the Christmassy, you're bedecked in Christmas apparel, aren't you there, Mr. Rick DeMaio?
I guess you can say. I'm actually preparing for my Tuesday night party, which you and Heather are invited to.
Oh, not, my invitation must have gotten lost in the mail or something.
I got mine.
Yeah. Oh, great, thanks.
You were supposed to tell Mike about this.
I forgot.
This isn't a producer's only party. No, actually, Mike and Heather, this is hastily put together by myself in honor of the fact that it's been 25 years since my first ever attended winter solstice party, something that we used to do up at the University of Wisconsin every year because there was a lot of German and Austrian-born professors there, and they would cook up a lovely alcoholic concoction. I think, Mike, you probably may better know, you may know better about this than I do, called Glug, is it? Or Glog?
Glug, I think
Glug,
it sounds.
Yeah.
Glug.
Yeah, there you go.
Glug. I lived in Andersonville for a number of years, and you can get a little bit of it over there.
So what we're doing, there's about 10, maybe 12 of us so far, and the list actually keeps growing every day. Hey, can I come? Can I come? So Tuesday night, we're actually having a party. It's a winter solstice party, and it's basically a lot of meteorologists getting together, celebrating the return of the sun to the northern hemisphere. Isn't that kind of a fun and geeky thing to do?
I'm just scared of being in the same room with a bunch of meteorologists.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, don't you think it'd be fun, Heather?
I do. I still have a fantasy of you and like all the Chicago meteorologists sitting around a poker table together. Like
like the dogs.
Yeah. Right, and I think Skilling needs to buy and everybody else, you know, just plays and that's how I entertain myself.
Is it a fantasy or just a vision?
I think it's a vision, really. It began here with the Mike Novak show, and it's just sort of taken off in my mind as like this almost meteorologist world poker tour.
Well, I don't think Skilling's going to be able to come because, yeah, as you know, he's chained to the desk of the WGN TV Weather Center. But you know, obviously, the 21st is the official what we call astronomical first day of winter. But the old timers, particularly in Europe, they call it midwinter because obviously it's the point where the sun begins to return to the northern hemisphere. On the 21st of December, the sun is directly over the Tropic of Capricorn. So I always find it weird, Mike, that we call it the first day of winter when really it's the beginning of when the sun begins to return to the northern hemisphere. Now, granted, we know that the coldest time of the year is not the 21st of December. It's usually around the 15th to 20th of January, something what we call a lag effect. But in any event, my first winter solstice party was December 1984 when I was a senior, and my friend said to me, he goes, hey, you know what, we're going to have a 25th anniversary of our graduation in May of 2010. And I went, 25 years? It's been 25 freaking years to get out of college. I went, oh, my God, where did the time fly? It's just, I don't know what happened to the last 25 years. So I figured I'd speed up the process by having a winter solstice party. So that's what we're doing Tuesday night here in the DeMille residence. So, Mike, getting back to your question, 5 minutes, because am I bedecked in Hollywood spectacles? Yes, I guess I am. So, so it runs from 6:30 to 10:30, and I'll send you all the details a little bit later after the show about that.
That sounds great. I'd love to come by and geek out with meteorologists about the solstice.
Do you think we'll talk about the weather?
Well, you know what, Heather, it's kind of funny because every time we had a really tight group of people up at the UW, and we would get together every 5 years, and we would actually have someone go around and make sure that people were not talking about the weather, so we can talk about people's lives and family and relationships and workplaces and jobs. But it was one of those things where, you know, all of a sudden it's like, hey, what do you think about this weekend storm? You can't get away from it. But I thought
you were going to say we got together every 5 years and did a five-year forecast.
Well, you know, it's funny, Mike, because we do talk about how things, you know, could be changing or not changing, particularly obviously with climate. And there's a lot of, you know, political talking that goes back and forth. But 25 years definitely gives you some perspective on, you know, where you've come and, you know, how much things have changed. You know, people don't look at weather maps the way they used to. Everybody just basically puts their head into a computer monitor. You don't really take the pencil to the paper. I guess kind of how gardening has changed to some degree. I mean, I was listening to your discussion before about poinsettias and what you have to do, and people say, oh, I don't have the time for that. But that's kind of how forecasting is today. I don't think the students coming out of school really put the time into looking at, you know, the type of weather maps that I did or maybe the people back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s did, where you really had to rely on good old-fashioned, you know, get your hands dirty and get your feet wet and, you know, get down into the trenches and really, you know, think about things. And I think that's the difference between gardeners of, you know, 25 years ago compared to gardeners of today. That's not to say that they don't exist, and that's not to say that meteorologists coming out of school today don't have those sort of, you know, talents, but it has changed a little bit. And I think meteorology and gardening does have some, you know, symbiotic relationship to it, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
What did he just say?
He said that gardeners and meteorologists need to work together.
Yes, they do.
Are you a step behind me again, Mr. Novak?
Yeah, I'm. You know, I'm getting ready for my big presentation.
And he's got a big show happening tonight.
I've got lots going on today. I've got...
I missed that. What was that?
Well, in the second half of the show, I'm doing my 10-minute It's a Wonderful Life. I call it It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
And I'll do the whole movie. In fact, I was thinking of having Heather play one of the roles for me. I was looking for Heather to maybe play Mary in this, because I thought maybe we would... why don't you look through that script?
Is it Mary? Is it Mary?
Mary! Oh, very good! See, you've
Mary.
Done this.
Merry Christmas, you old clock on the wall!
Wow, maybe I should
He's
have.
He's really good.
I know, should have him do. Hey, is this your talent? By the way, you were assigned a talent, and last year you sort of blew me off. And now, what about this year?
I missed the email. What can I tell you? We're missing emails.
Yeah. I didn't get the party invitation, and
I every once in a while I throw a little Jimmy Stewart into my repertoire, Mike.
Do you? I didn't. I had no idea. Anyway.
Aside from the weather,
you know, we have
dying to know about.
We are we dodged the big snowstorm here, didn't we?
Well, you mean the one that hit the East Coast?
Yeah, I mean that's a monster.
We were never in its track. So this is a system that came out of southern Texas, moved across New Orleans, where they've had nearly 2 feet of rain for the month of December, which is amazing, and then it slowly made its way up the East Coast. And, you know, the East Coast, Mike and Heather, this is the only place outside of just to the east of Japan where you can get storms like this. And I teach my students this in my meteorology class, where the combination of a large mass of cold air, which sits over the continent in North America, and a large body of water that's warm, particularly on the western edge, which is obviously the Atlantic Ocean, where you have the Gulf Stream, those two things work in combination to produce some incredibly deep cyclones in a very short period of time over a very short distance. So you combine those two with Gulf of Mexico and western Atlantic moisture, and you can easily have, you know, these fantastic snow bands that set up, and that's exactly what happened with the East Coast. The Midwest doesn't get stuff like that. We have too much land surrounding us. So we'll get big snows, but we won't get these 2-foot amounts that they had from parts of Virginia, Washington, D.C., from what I saw this morning, had their seventh greatest snow ever, was 15.6 inches officially on the Mall. Baltimore, where the Bears are playing today, it's amazing. They finally got out last night.
Did they get in there? I hadn't heard.
They got in late last night. I think they arrived somewhere around 1 a.m., but I think they took off from Chicago about 10. Fortunately, the storm was able to move out quick enough where they were able to clean the runways at Baltimore-Washington Airport. So they'll play, and I'm sure they'll be sleepy. And if, you know, Cutler only is able to play two quarters because he's tied as opposed to four, maybe he'll only throw two interceptions. So,
you know, they've been sleepy all year, so
hey,
I don't think it makes any difference.
It's a season of miracles.
Yeah,
this is, they've been pretty pathetic.
Does anybody care?
No, I don't think so. But it'll be fun to watch. But the weather will be, for the game will be fine. I mean, everything is cold. I just got an email from my uncle who lives out on central Long Island, which is in Babylon, and he said he has 5-foot drifts up the back of his house because they basically had a blizzard. The eastern two-thirds of Long Island, which, you know, Brooklyn includes as the western third, Manhattan picked up about 10 to 12 inches. Parts of Queens picked up about 15, but as you go further east, that's where the heaviest snow was. There were easily 20 to 22-inch amounts, which is amazing, because at about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, there wasn't a flake of snow in the air. So all the snow fell within about a 18-hour period of time, which is absolutely amazing.
Here's something that it is amazing, and here's something that I've thought of in the past couple of days, and I hadn't heard anybody comment, but I'm sure they will. This is we're already in a weak economy. The last great push for this holiday season.
I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah,
and
the whole East Coast kind of got wiped out by this snowstorm, and I think it's going to depress the numbers for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike, and that's a good point. I mentioned this to I was talking to Matt Smith, who's the spokesman for Streets and Fans here in Chicago, because I was briefing him on the snow here for Saturday for the Lake Effect, which obviously didn't happen. I didn't think it was gonna, but I said, Matt, the last thing this country needs is a big snowstorm that takes 2 days to move from the southernmost populated area of the United States to the northernmost populated area, meaning the Carolinas, the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philly, New York, and up into Boston. Now, here's one thing. I was talking to my brother yesterday, and he actually went out shopping to get some food just in case things are going to be shut down, Saturday or Sunday afternoon. He said he went in there, and there was nothing on the shelves. People were basically raiding the food supply stores, you know, your big stock-up stores, buying stuff in anticipation of not getting anything for the next 2 to 3 days. So while people probably weren't going out shopping for your normal Christmas stuff, they were going out and buying other things. So maybe the numbers may not be as bad. But the bottom line is, you're right, both Saturday and Sunday, I think you're going to see some really depressed numbers from your retailers, hoping to push them in the last-minute Christmas deals, which obviously is not going to happen due to the fact that you had 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Hey, listen, we might people here might benefit from that. People, these national chains going crazy because nothing's moved.
Right. Yeah, I guess in one way it may shake out someplace else.
It's interesting, though, you said that you didn't expect us to get the snow yesterday because there were some reports that we would get the back edge of that storm and we would get lake effect, but it really never materialized, did it?
No, and I think part of the problem was, we were all looking at the potential for lake effect about 3 or 4 days ago, and some of the numbers coming in from the buoy reports were showing the lake water temperature still to be about 40 or 41 degrees. And I called someone up at the weather service and I go, you know what? I stuck my thermometer in the lake, and there's patches of ice floating along the lake shore. That lake's not 40 or 41. It's more like 34 to 35. And sure enough, because right now we don't have any buoys in Lake Michigan. They took them all out about 3 weeks ago in anticipation of, you know, bad weather and obviously, you know, potential ice flows. So we don't have that information from the middle of the lake that we had about a month ago. So some of the updated shoreline temperatures showed about a 3 to 4 degree drop in the lake water just within about a 3 to 4 day period of time. And that really made a big difference, Mike, because you need what's called a certain temperature lapse rate. That's the difference between the surface of Lake Michigan and the air temperature about 2,000 to 4,000 feet above that. And all you need is a 2 to 3 degree difference. In other words, if the lake is too cool, you don't get that what's called that instability, the warm lake and the cold air above, to really foster any development in clouds or vertical clouds. So when I started to see patches of ice in the lake, I'm like, I don't know. I think this lake is almost too cool for lake effects, though. And sure enough, the wind direction changed a little bit. So to be honest with you, this is going to be a real minor event. I think some of the forecasts out there were for a little bit too much lake effect snow anyway. But we only got a dusting here. I'm in Rogers Park. I'm looking out in the streets, and if I can get a ruler to measure a tenth of an inch of snow, I'd be lucky. But if you go about 4 miles inland, there's a solid 2 inches in some areas on the grassy surfaces. There was a band of, if you want to call it, heavier snowfall that came down, but it wasn't lake effect or lake induced, but it was enough to produce some snow. But still, right along the lakefront, and particularly in downtown Chicago, this was pretty much a non-event, but the roads are a bit slick, so people have to be a little careful out there.
I was out last night, and there was some glazing, and it was because it just got under freezing, and it got a little tricky, you know, in some places.
Yeah, you got to be careful, because when you're driving and stuff like this, you know, you may spill your drinks. You got to be careful about that. I guess you missed that, huh?
Yeah, I did. No, I'm just moving right on. I was working, pal. Okay, I was working.
Nope.
And today we're going to get a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and a little bit is probably going to be more so to the south of us. I just looked at some of the tracks of this latest Alberta Clipper, which is really, really falling apart and really weak. So 24 hours, it'll look like we're going to get maybe 1 to 2 inches. Now it looks like we may be lucky to squeeze out an inch of snow, probably getting in here sometime after about 3 o'clock. It'll probably scoot out of here maybe by about 9 o'clock tonight. And then we have another chance of some very light snow Monday afternoon and into Tuesday. If we get an inch out of this, that'd be it once again. And then the next big storm, which the computer models are having a real difficult time only because the pattern is very chaotic right now. It looks like this next storm probably doesn't come through here until Wednesday, maybe late Wednesday afternoon into Thursday. And again, it's acting like the last one where the front edge of it will start out as light snow and then go to all rain and then probably back to snow during the day on Christmas. So we could end up with a white Christmas, but it may start out as rain Wednesday night into Thursday morning, and then probably end up being snow Christmas night and into Friday. So the upcoming week, don't plan on seeing any sunshine between now and probably next Saturday. A very cloudy period, but again, typical for this time of the year. But the bottom line is I think between now and probably Christmas Eve, nothing in the way of any big snowstorms. So if people want to get out and do some last-minute shopping and helping out the economy and visiting some friends and family, I think the weather's going to cooperate just fine, man.
And winter solstice, as far as I can tell, 11:47 a.m. tomorrow? Is that right?
It hasn't changed. Yep, that's when the sun is directly
That's what it
the...
is. They've known that for a few years, haven't they?
yeah, they can go out pretty far with that. These calculators these days are pretty interesting. That's when the sun is directly over the Tropic of Capricorn at 23.5 degrees south. A lot of people don't realize, but the reason why it's that degree is also that's the angle of the tilt of the Earth. So that all kind of works out. And I always tell my students, always remember Michael Jordan's number, 23. You get the tilt of the Earth, you get the Tropic of Cancer, the Tropic of Capricorn, and you subtract that from 90 degrees, you get 67, and that's also the Arctic Circle. So a lot of neat numbers out of that one particular number.
Cool.
And there you go. You learned something very important today on the show. Rick DeMaio Weather, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com or you go to my website, MikeNovak.net. It's on the homepage. Click on. I will see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, and Heather, you're invited as well. I'll send you out some more information after the show, guys.
All right, great. Take care and have a wonderful Christmas. I'll talk to you next week and we'll see what the New Year's going to be like.
Okay, sounds good, Mike. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Do you know that the Care of Trees is 24-hour emergency service? We've already had some nasty weather. Winter doesn't begin until 11:47 a.m. tomorrow, officially. And winter storms can result in broken limbs or even downed trees. The weight of storm-damaged trees is great, and they can be very dangerous to remove or prune. And if they've fallen on cars, other structures, or even other trees, that complicates removal even more. The Care of Trees offers a 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life, and the Care of Trees combines that joy with a dedication to the utmost in client care, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Ringer.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, see you soon.
Oh.
Lots of luck and many presents and happy Crimble. That's all I think.
All I want for Christmas is a
What happened there? I see what I did. I'm sorry.
All, I think.
There we go. I had the wrong thing up. Let's try this again.
All I want for Christmas is a beetle. Not a teddy bear, just a beetle. I told Mum that nothing else would do. There are four, so she can have one too.
I must have this.
Do you think Greg Alexander even has this song?
I don't know. He has never presented it to me, so I honestly don't know. But he is Professor Mop Top. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah. All right. We're coming up on the news, and then in the second big hour of the Xmas extravaganza on the Mike Novak Show, It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. 10 minutes of fun and games. And are you ready to play, Mary?
Oh, yes. And I'm curious, you're going
to know that you've seen the movie.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Some people haven't.
Really?
Know. Well, it's true.
That's terrible.
Okay.
Everyone needs to see It's a Wonderful Life.
At least once, and that's it, usually. So we will do that, and we'll also have Scott Austin from the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, Canada, talking more about plants. And please call us just to say hi, Merry Christmas, whatever. Happy Crimble. 773-838-WCPT. You're always welcome, and we will be back right after CNN News.
From Negri to Marlon Point, I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year!
Welcome back to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show Xmas Extravaganza.
Wow!
Still to come, Mike's one-man, 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. You'll laugh. You'll cry.
Make your move! Make your move! Feel your groove!
Let's face it, mainly you'll cry.
Like I told you!
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by SIDS, Chicago's premier garden centers.
Nice, nice, nice!
And by the care of trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. And by WRD Environmental. Creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow.
Drink wine! Feel fine! Christmas time!
Here he is again.
Wow!
Ring ting tingling all the way, Mike Novak.
Up, up, up! Take a step from the cup! Leave the top!
Oh,
nice,
yeah.
Nice, nice, nice!
Nice, nice, nice!
Ah!
I think that's my favorite carol of all time now.
This is it.
That's fantastic.
I have no idea. It
feels warm.
What do they call this? King Stitt? Is that the name of the guy? I think that's... Wait, let's see. Yeah, King Stitt doing whatever.
Nice, 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 nice Christmas.
Nice, nice, nice Christmas. Oh, Lordy. The second hour of the Mike Novak Show. And you know what, and I haven't, you got it on the screen there, and I've forgotten to tell people that, okay, we're going to do a wonderful slice here in the second hour, the 10, it's standby, about 9:30 or so, and do the whole thing in 10 minutes, the whole movie, with Heather Fry and special guest star Scott Austin, who does not know he's going to be a special guest star yet. I'm going to drag
all the way up there in Canada?
In British Columbia. Right. But tonight, if you want to see it in person, I do this every year. This is about the sixth or seventh year. I can't even remember exactly how many times I've done it. At the Green Mill, at Lawrence and Broadway in Chicago, the venerable institution there where Al Capone used
place.
To hang out. And they do the Uptown Poetry Slams there. Every Sunday, and Mark Smith is the guy who leads the poetry. And if you've never been to a poetry slam, it's pretty fun. It really is. It's just people get up and they do their poetry, and there's no mercy. It's all judged by the audience, and if they like you, it's like being at the Apollo. You know, if you go south on them,
they let you know.
Oh, they let you know. You're done. You're out of there. But they're always nice to me because I don't know why they're nice to me, but they're always
well, it's
great.
The Green Mill. You're like the advocate O' Green
well,
in Chicago.
Well, that may be so, but
it's karma.
My show has nothing to do with green. You know,
well, not their kind.
So, that's tonight. It starts at 7. The whole thing starts at 7. I usually go on around 8 p.m. This is a long day. This is what we call a long day, because you're not going to believe this. I got two gigs in between today. By about 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be ready.
I'm doing the festival greetings today, too. I'm hitting about three different soirees with my son. And
There's a difference.
Yeah,
I'm working.
Yeah, you're working.
I'm working.
I'm
working all day long. No Sundays off for Mikey.
Yeah. I got to be behaved, though. My son will be with me. And did you see this picture of him? Isn't he cute? Under our tree?
Stop it. Stop it.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Stop it. Show me later. Why don't we get Scott on the phone? We'll be talking a little bit more about Christmas plants. And I found this story, you may know this or you may not know this. And by the way, if you got any questions about something that's drooping your plant, or you want to get something and you're not sure, give us a call. Scott and I will answer 773-838-WCPT, 773-838-9278. I found this article. Well, let's bring in Scott right now. Scott, how are you?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I asked you first.
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, good. So am I. it's early there in Britain. Now, explain to people where the Okanagan Valley is in British Columbia.
Columbia. Okay, Mike. We are at the at the northern edge of the Sonoran Desert, which stretches from California.
Nobody knows that. Yeah. Okay, well, you got to explain
all the way up
that.
And through and right through the middle of the province on the western edge of Canada. We are about probably 45 minutes north of the U.S. border, Washington State.
Uh-huh.
And Yeah, we're kind of right in the middle of the province of British Columbia.
Now, are you
probably about a four to five hour drive from Vancouver?
Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah. Four to four. Now, in terms of the Cascades, there.
Yes.
Are you on the dry side already, or are you in the middle? Oh, yes. Yeah, so you're dry side.
We're definitely on the dry side.
Because I had a house, a vacation house in Washington State for a number of years on the Olympic Peninsula. So I know, I know how kind of the whole thing works there. It's like the Cascades on the west side, it's a rainforest, and on the east side, it's a desert.
That's right. That's right.
And it's weird how that works. And so when you talk about that desert that goes up from California, that's the one that goes through the center of Washington State as well, right?
Yep. Yeah, if your listeners are familiar with Spokane and Wenatchee and the Columbia River Valley, we're on the northern edge of that kind of landscape. Lots of sagebrush.
Uh-huh. And actually, lots of good apple growing that way, too.
Yes, good apple growing. And up in the Okanagan Valley, some very nice grapes to make some very nice wines as well.
Really? What else do you guys, what's your temperatures like? You probably don't benefit from the maritime influence very much.
No, it's very dry. Our winter temperatures are not too bad, actually, Mike. We would probably be about a zone 6 USDA.
Oh, that's not bad. That's
and,
one above us here in Chicago.
And our saving grace in this valley, Mike, is that we have a very large lake, Okanagan Lake, which runs about, 75 miles, and it's about a mile wide, so it's really the dominant geographic feature of the valley.
Is that a man-made lake?
No, it's a natural lake.
Wow, 75 miles, because it sounds to me like a river that's been dammed, pretty much.
No, it's a natural lake. And the Okanagan River, which flows from the south end of it, eventually ends up in the Columbia south of the border.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you have been doing a radio show in the Okanagan Valley for 21 years.
That's right, in Penticton, which is...
I beg your pardon?
Which is in Penticton. Penticton is the city right at the south end of the Okanagan Lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. I'm glad you said Penticton.
Yeah. Penticton.
How many folks are in that valley, in the area of your...
All totaled, Mike, in the Okanagan Valley proper, we probably have about 250,000 people.
Oh, that's a pretty healthy size group over there.
Yeah, and growing all the time.
Uh-huh.
Much to the consternation of some folks who wonder where all the water is going to come from to water and bathe all of these people.
Well, that's a really good question. As you said, you're on the desert side of things.
Yes.
And it's got to be a little frustrating because just a few short miles away, you've got all the rain you could ever want and all the water, and it would be a matter of how do you get it over the mountains, and you can't.
That's the thing. So many times, particularly at this time of the year, you know, usually starting in late October and through the winter, down on the coast, they have some fairly major and fairly intense weather systems that come, you know, off the ocean, and with a lot of wind and a lot of moisture. But so many times, by the time it gets to us, over the Cascades and down the slope, you get that subsidence effect, and we tend to get a lot of wind, but not much precipitation. Certainly through the fall and into the winter. Last year we had a fairly good winter in terms of snowfall, and it was pretty cold. This year, Environment Canada is telling us that we are in an El Nino type winter.
Yes, we are.
So that usually means that we have fairly warm winters and not a lot of snow, which is how it's been playing out so far.
And that is good or bad for you, do you think?
It's not usually not that good. We prefer cold winters with lots of snow up in the hills, which then melts and finds its way down into the reservoirs, and then we're good to go.
Uh-huh.
But we'll manage.
So
we always do.
What again? We're talking to Scott Austin, who's in the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, Canada, and people are wondering, well, why is he on the radio show? Why are you on my radio show, Scott?
Well, I was hoping you would tell me, Mike.
I think we
obviously share a connection with a certain movie, I think.
I guess we do.
Yes, we do.
I got an email from Scott a few weeks ago, and he introduced himself and said he was a radio host and did gardening stuff, works for Art Knapps. Is it pronounced Knapp or Knapp?
Yeah, Art Knapps Plantland.
Yeah, Art Knapps Plantland. And you got like...
It's a chain of garden centers in British Columbia.
Yeah.
About 16 different garden centers, all independently owned. And there was an Art Knapp many, many years ago in the 50s who started a garden center, a garden store on a corner and down in the Vancouver area. And it kind of grew from there.
And spread over the mountains.
Yeah.
And now it's the Okanagan Valley.
Yeah.
And Scott wrote me and he said, hey, Mike, you used to do this thing that was broadcast... It used to be broadcast every year on Gargantua Radio down the dial where I used to work. And this is what happens when you leave a radio station. Art, you probably don't know what it's like to move from one radio station to another. You have to sort of treat them with as much disrespect as possible.
Oh, okay.
You just make people know, let people know that you don't care. You've just moved on. And so they played this at the Gargantua Radio for a number of years, and then, of course, I left, and they stopped playing it.
Yeah.
So I realized I had to do another live radio version of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life so that I could put it online and so that people like you could click on and hear this.
Yeah, it was a brilliant piece of work, Mike. I really enjoyed it.
I wouldn't go that far.
I couldn't find it. Hey, what's the deal here? Where is it?
It was gone.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do here this morning. And you don't know this, Scott, but you're going to be part of the deal.
No, I don't know this.
Yeah, you
but
do.
What's the deal?
You're going to have to sing "Auld Lang Syne."
Yeah.
May I get Heather to help you with that too? Maybe I'll even drag Mike Sanders in here, and we'll have various voices. But at the very end, right after I say. To my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Man in town. Yeah.
You're going to break into Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
And you will become part of radio history.
I love it.
And it will. When I post it, Scott Austin will be part of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm very pleased to help out, Mike.
Well, I'm glad you are. And this is going to be a little scary because Heather just got the script like 20 minutes ago. And she's playing Mary.
Oh, okay.
She's been dutifully studying it off stage here, as we say. But how you doing there on that, Heather?
I'm ready when you are.
Because she's seen the movie. You know, you didn't hear it, and I don't think, but I'm performing it tonight at the Green Mill in Chicago, which is a tavern that Al Capone used to haunt, and or frequent, or haunt. And
Or still haunt. Yeah.
A couple of times that I performed it there, I asked for volunteers from the audience to play Mary.
Yeah.
And a couple of times I've had people who have never seen the movie. First of all, you got to wonder, why are you volunteering if you've never seen the movie?
And have you been living under a rock your entire life?
Well, that's the second question that comes up.
Yeah.
How's that even possible? And you're a huge fan of the movie, right,
Scott?
Oh, I
love that movie, Mike.
It's one of the best movies ever made. Yeah. It's like so up. It's seasonal because at the end of the year, that's a movie you need to like reinstill hope in humanity and mankind into the new year, so you don't, you know, suffer some horrible depression
and blah 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 blah. Yeah. By the way. If you want to go to my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, this week's show, I got a picture of you up there, Scott.
Oh, is that right?
I bet you didn't even know that.
No, I didn't.
I am so on top of this, pal. Okay. And a link, to Art Knapp's Plantland in case you happen to be traveling Okanagan Valley way.
Yeah.
In the next day or two?
I may be soon. My brother just moved to Alberta, and they're expecting their daughter any minute now.
Oh, to Alberta?
Yes.
That's some serious winter out there, Heather.
I'll have to wait till summer
winter.
Then. I can't do
that. We here in British Columbia, Alberta is, those are our very, very, very cold cousins.
Yes.
It was minus 51 in Edmonton about a week and a half ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Was that the high or the low? That was the low.
Yeah, that was the low.
the high temperature was minus
55.
Oh, my goodness. Up to minus 35.
Oh, my
Yikes.
God. I couldn't do that.
So you got any Alberta jokes? I mean, what are the jokes you guys say about...
I won't repeat them, but we do make reference to the fact that we're grateful that their license plates are a different color so that we can see them coming, you know. There's a lot of curves on our roads in British Columbia, which there aren't in Alberta.
Okay. That's what passes for humor in BC, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's radio proof.
Yeah, that's right.
But Scott is he knows his stuff because he's the nursery manager at Art Knapp's Plantland and Flower Shop. And this is a time of year, you know, you're like the Americans or, you know, you're selling
poinsettias,
which, yeah. And you say poinsettia. I say poinsettia.
Yeah, poinsettia.
No.
No, okay.
All right, it's poinsettia.
Potato.
Wait, you call poinsettias potato?
No, potato. Tomato, tomato.
No, I knew that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was looking at something here. And by the way, if you got a question, Scott knows his stuff, 773-838-9278. But I was looking at fun facts about mistletoe.
Oh, yeah.
Mistletoe is interesting because what a lot of people may not know, and I find it kind of fun and ironic, that mistletoe is the Christmas plant that everybody knows about, and it's the romantic plant, and in reality, it's a parasite.
Parasite, yeah.
It is?
It is, absolutely.
It will kill a mature tree over time.
It depends on the species.
Yes.
Mistletoe is a catch-all term for more than 1,500 species of mistletoe growing around the world, most of them in the tropics. And belonging to an entirely different plant family, the mistletoe of American Christmas tradition is known as Foradendron, while the mistletoe of European Christmas tradition is an entirely different genus, Viscum album.
Yeah, that's right, Viscum album.
Right, and however, both are members of the Viscaceae plant family. It's a hemiparasitic evergreen plant. Well, it does contain some chlorophyll and can, you know, because it's got a little bit of green in it,
mm-hmm.
and it can photosynthesize some of its own nutrients. Mistletoe prefers to live off of its host tree. In America, mistletoe is considered an invasive species. Same way in Canada?
Well, I don't think mistletoe unless there's a hardy species, I don't think mistletoe
can survive.
Has too much of a chance to survive.
Yeah, maybe in Ontario, Windsor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, where it's humid.
Because I grew up in Detroit. I mean, the one place where Canada is south of the United States.
That's right.
It's true.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just giggling.
She's just giggling. All right. Anyway,
you know, there's been a real shortage of mistletoe in the Christmas market, at least up my way. We haven't seen live mistletoe available, you know, at the wholesale level for a couple of years.
Really?
Yeah. So it's usually the mistletoe that you can get up here is of the species plastic.
That's what I have.
Species plastic.
Yeah.
Well, in America, mistletoe is considered an invasive species that eventually kills its host. European mistletoe merely weakens its host but does not kill it. Wow, that's, oh, great, you know.
Yeah.
So your tree's sick with the
it's
other one.
Dead.
But at least it's not
but
dead.
But it's romantic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here's how romantic it is. This is the best part. You probably know this, Scott, but mistletoe is the state flower of Oklahoma.
Seriously?
Oh, you didn't know that?
I know that, no.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Kathleen's from Oklahoma, so.
There's a fun fact to quote at your next party.
So not only do they have James Inhofe in Oklahoma, they have mistletoe as the state flower. You know, there's a double threat, if you ask me.
Here's one for your listeners, Mike. The provincial flower in British Columbia is the dogwood.
Well.
Yeah.
And?
Pacific dogwood, Cornus metalli.
Okay, and give me the characteristics of the Pacific dogwood.
It's a spreading, sometimes a multi-stemmed or multi-trunked small tree. Four petals, or bracts, they are correctly. White flowers in April, May. That particular species grows closer to the coast.
Yeah, I was wondering that it probably doesn't grow your way, does it?
Doesn't do too well up our way. We do have dogwoods. Cornus florida and Cornus cusa grow okay up here, but you need to amend the soil and make sure that they're happy through their first couple of years.
Oh, wait. Well, let me ask you, what's your soil like?
Oh, soil?
Yeah.
Well, I always say we have two kinds of soil up here in the Okanagan Valley, sand and gravel.
Oh, boy.
It's very, very rocky, very thin soils.
We have the opposite problem here around Chicago. Not all the places, you know, because we have some sand along the lake shore, but to a great extent, we have lots of clay. Lots of heavy clay, and which ends up killing plants here because it drowns them. You know, they can't. At least you got good drainage.
Yeah, we have drainage. That's not a problem. Although, interestingly, we do have areas where there is clay as well, mainly along the shores of the of our Okanagan Lake. And that has to do with the glaciers and higher water levels back in prehistoric times. So we have these large clay banks that line the lake. And so if you're not graveling, you're not gardening on sand and gravel, you're gardening on clay. So it's quite interesting. It's quite a challenge.
Wow. Well, see, and that's and did what's the pH like?
Oh, we're very alkaline.
So are we. All right.
Yeah,
so that's interesting.
Soil.
We've got the same alkalinity. That's why you were saying amending the soil from some of those plants, probably for the dogwood to get some acidity into the soil.
Yeah, we can actually grow rhododendrons up here, the hardier varieties. But you really, really need to amend the soil and put in lots of peat to bring the pH down.
Well, I tell people about rhododendrons. When it comes to rhododendrons, pass it by. Although there are some that will do okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's but it's just that's what people want. They get and as you know, living in British Columbia, if you go across the mountains to Vancouver,
rhododendrons everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you know, you can throw them at the side of the road out of your car and they root and grow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tell people, you know what? It's a lot of work for 10 days of bloom.
You mean on your side of the mountain?
On my side of the mountain.
Yeah, you know, and I say it's kind of that way in Chicago, too. Probably not quite as bad as you guys. But the good thing you'd see, the thing you do have going for you is the good drainage, because rhododendrons want good drainage.
That's right. They don't like wet feet.
They don't like wet feet, and that's why when you plant them in clay, they have a hard time.
Not very successful.
All right, let's finish up on the mistletoe here. The origin of the word mistletoe seems to refer to the fact that mistletoe was observed as appearing on a tree whenever a thrush or missile left its excrement or on a branch or toe.
Oh, okay.
Mm? Mistletoe spreads through birds eating and digesting the seeds, which are then deposited on a tree branch. Gosh, wonder how they get there. Where roots soon begin to grow and burrow into the host. Isn't that an attractive thing?
Amazing.
The white berries of the American mistletoe are extremely poisonous to people and pets, but not to birds. Many people know this, but many do not, it says here. So it's worth repeating. Don't eat the mistletoe.
Eat the poinsettia.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, poinsettias are okay to eat, but don't eat the mistletoe.
We discussed that. In fact, just today, again, if you go to MikeNovak.net, we talked about it earlier. We've got the video on my website, a link to the video of eating poinsettias. There's Chris Bates eating poinsettias. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it, like I said earlier, without Hidden Valley Ranch dressing.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to have something like that.
Not bad with that. You sliced up tomatoes on top and got yourself a big salad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the interesting thing about poinsettia is years ago I had Paul Ekey Jr. as a guest on my program. I called him up and we did an interview. And, you know, the Ekey Poinsettia Ranch out in California, you talk about a family that's responsible for a Christmas tradition. You know, the poinsettia was not always associated with Christmas. People just think, well, yeah, poinsettia, Christmas, they've been together for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's not the case. It's a pretty recent phenomenon.
Yeah, and an American one, right?
Yes, yeah. The Ekey family, you know, they came from Germany, and they saw these poinsettias blooming in Southern California around Christmas time, and they saw the potential for a plant that would bloom in December and be associated with Christmas. And it's very, very interesting story how they started growing poinsettias in the fields and selling them as cut flowers, you know, on Sunset Boulevard in the early days of Hollywood. And through breeding over the decades, they came up with a variety that would grow in the house. And, you know, you read the story about poinsettia cuttings being shipped to greenhouses by rail across the U.S. and how constant breeding improved it to the point where it would grow in the house. And if you remember back in the 60s and 70s, Mike, a poinsettia, it was lucky to last until New Year's Day, right? They would just fall apart as soon as Christmas was over. But with breeding now, I mean, I have customers, callers talking to me in May and June saying that their poinsettia looks as nice as it did when they bought it back in the previous December. Hasn't lost any of its color.
So they've done that. They hasn't lost any of its color.
It still has the bracts. They tell me.
Wow.
Amazing.
It is.
So the breeding has really improved. But aside from that, the Ekey family, what they did was they made sure that all of these holiday specials that used to come on TV. You remember back in the 60s, you know, the Dinah Shore Christmas special and the Frank Sinatra's and the Dean Martins and all of these Hollywood and television people had holiday specials.
Uh-huh.
Well, they made sure that they got poinsettias into the studio, you know, in July when they were taped, so that people started to see the association between Christmas and the poinsettia, and they saw the poinsettias around the fireplace and around the Christmas tree in the studios on these holiday specials. And that had a lot to do with the popularity of the poinsettia translating into people actually buying them and being able to buy them and keep them in their homes over Christmas.
You are a font of information there, pal.
It's a huge industry.
I know. It is.
Phenomenal. In such a short period of time, I think the figure is something like $300 million.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
All right. That is Scott Austin from the Okanagan Valley of British Columbia. All right. We got to get some business out of the way so that we can do this thing. All right, are you ready for that?
All right, I am ready.
All right, let me take care of this. We'll be right back with It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life on the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Café Bella is Logan Square's newest great restaurant. High-end chef Cesar Casas, formerly of Ambria, prepares fresh, wholesome, but decadently delicious food, from the pulled pork sandwich for lunch to the tilapia provençal for dinner. The atmosphere is relaxed. There's free Wi-Fi, BYOB. Café Bella, 3311 West Fullerton, just east of Kimball. Go to cafebellaonline.com or call 773-292-5040. Café Bella, for gourmet, healthy eating.
Hey, you know, you guys are welcome there when we sing Trixie and Ron at the end of it, when they sing Auld Lang Syne, you can be part of it too.
Oh, we're going to come back in and sing with you.
That sounds great. Okay, they're going to, and then they're going to come in. All right. It's so festive in the room, I can hardly stand it. Where are we here? Let's see. Hey, with Christmas just about 4.5 shopping days away, you'd better make that list and check it twice, and 3 and 4 times, and then count on the folks at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center to help you get through it with great gifts, plus home and party decor. There's still time to get a real florist-quality poinsettia, and that's the way I pronounce it, from Sid's Greenhouses. They even deliver throughout the entire Chicagoland area, which is going to save you some time. In addition to poinsettias, they also have the best custom made-to-order floral gifts in Chicagoland and much, much more. So get that list together today, you know, the family, friends, and business associates who you can't believe you forgot. Call Sid's tomorrow and take a deep breath. Sid's can also help with home party decorating. Why not put a fresh Christmas centerpiece on your holiday table? Plus, Sid's entire stock of decorations and ornaments is 50 to 75% off this week. And this is before Christmas. Fresh cut trees, wreaths, and garlands are still available. I've talked about that this season. If you want to go green, go real. Sid's Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
How to look at an image. Why is it the most popular feature on the One History website? Using multicultural photographs, this remarkable teaching tool takes students and teachers step by step through the process of seeing, interpreting, and using photographs and other images. It provides information on where historical images can be found online and provides discussion questions that help you get the most out of an image. Check out the website at www.onehistory.org. That's www.onehistory.org. Or, if you want us to work with your students directly, we can do a presentation at your school. Call us at 216-956-6300. 216-956-6300.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you got a real tree this year, and I hope you did, it's easy to recycle. The branches of a Christmas tree can be chipped or shredded and used as mulch in the yard to retain moisture under trees and plants, or placed in the compost pile. Obviously, the finer you chop it up, the faster it will decompose in the spring. You can also use it for covering perennials. Branches from the tree can be used to cover plants to help protect them from the cold and wind to keep the soil temperature even. Finally, check with your city or village to find out details about tree recycling in your community. In Chicago, go to cityofchicago.org/environment. Finally, never burn your Christmas tree or any fresh conifer wood in a fireplace or wood stove. The trees have a lot of sap, which when burned turns into creosote that can coat the inside of your chimney and possibly lead to a chimney fire. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Now, are you in a panic mode about your holiday gifts yet? Take a deep breath and listen to Uncle Mike. If your friend or family member is a gardener, you can't do any better than a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. This is the gardening magazine for our region, which means this part of the Midwest. In addition to the consistently excellent articles on everything from spectacular gardens you should know to plant and gardener profiles, there are regular features like Ask the Experts, What to Do in the Garden, Your Gardening Questions, Regional Reports, and the most comprehensive list of garden-related events in the Midwest. Of course, you can find Chicagoland Gardening Magazine in your local store or garden center. More than 800 new newsstand locations have been added in the last couple of months. But why make your friends leave the house to get the latest issue when they can have it delivered to their homes? There's even a guy named Mike who writes a column in the back of the magazine. You know why it's in the back of the magazine? Because he's on the naughty list. But that's another story. Go online to Chicagolandgardening.com, Chicagolandgardening.com, or give the office a call during business hours, 866-806-1498. This year, give the gift of gardening.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. Have a wonderful, crazy Christmas and a wonderful, crazy New Year. Go and go crazy!
Wait, that was the wrong one. I meant... You could never tell that I run my own control board, could you?
I want a casting couch for Christmas. One to call my very own. One on which a girl could retire with an occasional peace in front of the fire. So Santa, don't you be a grouch. Please send me a casting couch.
I guess that's our intro to It's a Wonderful Slice of If It's a Wonderful Life. Are you ready there, Scott?
I am ready, Mike.
All right. Scott Austin from the Okanagan Valley of British Columbia.
You know, we're having some little event in February up here, eh? I think it's called the Winter Olympics.
Oh, that's right. Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
we're pretty excited about it.
Good. And you're far enough away so you won't get trampled.
No, but close enough that if we choose to go down and soak up some of the atmosphere, we can head over the mountains and into Vancouver.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. When you hear me say, what was that line?
A toast to my...
I'm glad you know it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your merry stuff there.
I'm ready.
You ready for this? All right. For the... That's Heather Fry there. Scott Austin on the phone. I'm going to pot you down here, pal, because in case you start crying, I don't want that coming through.
Which could happen.
I know,
good. He does have that effect on me.
Yeah, I know. I've done this before. I haven't done it in a while. This is a piece that I call It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life, and sit back, relax. In 10 minutes, you got the whole movie, and you can say that you heard it on the radio for the holiday season. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. And I need my water. Hold on. I'm going to need this. It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. Hello, Joseph. Trouble? A lot of people are asking for help for a man named George Bailey. Joseph, send for Clarence. You sent for me, sir? Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help. Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, might I perhaps win my wings? Clarence, you do a good job with George Bailey, and you'll get your wings. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. See the town? Hey, who's that? That's your problem, George Bailey. That's him when he was 12.
Help, George, help! Hang on, Harry!
George saved his brother's life that day.
Mr. Potter!
Who's that? That's Henry F. Potter, the richest and meanest man in the county. Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-skulled character? You can't begin to spend all the money you've got. Oh, I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot brother of yours to spend for me.
He's not a failure. He's the biggest man in town. Bigger than you, bigger than everybody. Hello, Mr. Gower.
Capsules.
Don't hit my sore ear again. Don't hit my sore ear again.
Genuine English cowhide combination lock fitted up with brushes, combs. No. I want a big one. What'd you stop it for? I want you to take a good look at that face. Who is it? George Bailey.
Afternoon, Mr. Bailey.
Hello, Violet. Hey, you look good. That's some dress you got on there.
Why, this old thing, I only wear it when I don't care how I look.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, my last meal at the old Bailey boarding house. You wouldn't consider coming back to the building alone, would you?
I want to do something big and something important. Pop, I think I'll get dressed and go over to Harry's party.
Hee-haw! Uh-oh, Sam Wainwright. Well, hello.
Hello.
And they dance by the light of the moon.
Oh, hot dog, just like an organ. Mary, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet and I'm going to see the world. George, come home quick. Your father's had a stroke. Now we come to the real purpose of this meeting, to appoint a successor to our dear friend Peter Bailey. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to dissolve this institution and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle.
Sentimental hogwash.
George, they voted Potter down. They've appointed George here as executive secretary to take his father's place.
I'm leaving right now. I'm going to school. This is my last chance. Uncle Billy here, he's your man. My wild Irish rose! Crash! I'm all right. I know. He didn't go. That's right. Oh, hello, Mary. I just happened to be passing by.
Yes, so I noticed. Well, are you coming in or aren't you?
Well, I'll come in for a minute.
Would you like to sit down?
All right, for a minute.
Would you rather leave?
Now you listen to me. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any ground floors, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. You understand that? I'm going to do what I want to do. And you're... Oh, Mary.
George.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run. If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you will never reopen. 3, 2, 1, bingo! We made it! Close the door! We made it! Look, we're still in business. We still got $2 left. A toast to Mama Dollar and a Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building and loan in business, you better have a family real quick. I own the house! Me, Giuseppe Martini! I own my own house! Bailey family's been a boil on my neck long enough. I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly did you want to see me about? The point is, I want to hire you. George, I'll start you out at $20,000 a year. The answer's no. No, doggone it! You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say that you are nothing but a scurvy little spider. And that goes for you, too. Now, you've probably already guessed that George never leaves Bedford Falls.
No. Joseph, now show him what happened today.
$8,000. Oops.
We've got to find that money.
I'm no good to you. Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool? Where's that money? You realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
Hello, darling.
Hello, Daddy.
Dun, 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 dun.
Must she keep playing that? Daddy, the Browns next door have a new car. You should see it. Well, what's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you? Hello, Mrs. Welsh? Say, what kind of a teacher are you anyway? Hello, who's this? Oh, Mr. Welsh. Okay, that's fine, Mr. Welsh. Give me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife. Daddy, how do you spell hallelujah? How should I know? What do you think I am, a dictionary? Tommy, stop that. Stop it. Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You play it over and over again. Now stop it! Stop it! Well, what's the matter with everybody? Janie, go on. I told you to practice. Now go on. Play!
Oh, Daddy!
Must you torture the children?
Is Daddy in trouble?
Yes, Pete.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I've got to raise $8,000 immediately.
You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man? But I tell you what I'm going to do for you, George. I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds. Malfeasance. Manipulation. Minneapolis. All those big M words.
Why you drinking so much, my friend? Please go home, Mr. Bailey. This is a Christmas Eve.
Bailey? Next time you talk to my wife, you'll, like that, you'll get worse. Now look what you did. My great-grandfather planted this tree. Come back here, you drunken fool.
Hey, what's the matter with you? Look where you're going. Help! Help!
Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
AS2, what's that AS2?
Angel Second Class.
Oh, why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down here for. I'm your guardian angel.
Well, you look about like the kind of angel I'd get.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, no, you mustn't say... Wait, Joseph? You've got your wish. You've never been born.
Well, what I need's a couple of good stiff drinks. How about you, Angel? You want a drink? Where's my car? I beg your pardon? My car! I'm the fellow who owns the car that ran into your tree. You must mean two other trees. You had me worried. One of the oldest trees in Pottersville.
Pottersville? You mean Bedford Falls.
I mean Pottersville.
Well, come on, Gabriel.
Clarence.
Uh-oh. Every time you hear a bell ring, it means that some angel's just got his wings.
That does it. Out, you two pixies, go through the door or out the window. Get me. I'm giving out wings.
You're crazy, that's what I think. You're screwy. You're driving me crazy, too. I'm seeing things here. I'm going home and see my wife and family. You understand that? And I'm going home alone. Ernie, take me home. I'm going off my nut.
Well, where do you live?
Well, now, doggone it, Ernie, don't you start pulling that stuff. You know where I live. 320 Sycamore. Now, hurry up.
All right.
Bert, what's happened to this house? Where's Mary? Where's my kids?
Watch him, Bert.
Bert, Ernie, what's the matter with you two guys? You were here on my wedding night. You both of you stood out there on the porch and sung to us. Don't you remember?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who?
All I know is that this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses?
Gone. Where's Harry?
Dead.
Where's Mary?
You're not gonna like it, George.
Where's Mary? Where is she? Where is she?
She's just about to close up the library.
Oh, there must be some easier way for me to get my wings.
Mary! It's George. Don't you know me? What's happened to us?
I don't know you. Let me go.
Mary, please. Oh, don't do this to me. Please, Mary, help me.
Stand back.
Bang! Bang! Help me, Clarence. Please. I want to live again. Help me.
George, hey, what's the matter? Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here. What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
Bert, do you know me?
Hey, your mouth's bleeding. You sure you're all right?
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's petals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that?
Merry Christmas! Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas, Movie House! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan! Hey, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you in jail!
Merry Christmas, Daddy! Kids, Janie, Tommy, Daddy! Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel? Fine, not a smidge of temperature.
George?
Oh, let me touch you. Are you real? You have no idea what's happened to me.
Come on, George. Come on downstairs. Come in. Uncle Billy, everybody!
Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble. They scowled all over town collecting money. Harry!
A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind?
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Sing away.
Let's hear it for Heather Fry as Mary. Let's hear it for the in-studio carolers. I don't know, but there. And let's hear it for Scott Austin, all the way from British Columbia. You still there, Scott?
I am here, Mike. Brilliant.
It was. I don't know. If it was brilliant, but it.
I just replayed the entire movie in my mind in the last 10 minutes. I'm still going to watch it today, though.
All 7 hours of it, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, that's it. I'm done. Once I do that, and I still got a whole day ahead of me of doing this kind. I got to do this tonight at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Well, you're well rehearsed.
I am. I looked at some of those lines. Went, oh, that's what that line is. I haven't said that because I'm looking at the script here. I was cheating on the script.
Yeah.
But well, listen. Thank you so much, Scott. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Mike, and to all your listeners. And thanks for the opportunity to come on and be a part of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life.
And I'm going to post it on, it'll be up there, the audio archives will be on my site. I don't know if I'll get to it by the end of the day, but certainly by tomorrow.
I'll give you a day's grace.
and then link to it all over America and Canada.
And Canada.
And Canada as yeah. well. I got a feeling Canadians will like it better than the Americans.
We love that movie, Mike.
Well, great. And... next time I'm out Okanagan Valley way, I'm stopping in.
You better give me a call.
Okay,
yeah,
I will.
We'll take you on a tour and show you our fabulous valley and maybe have a nice glass of wine, too.
That would be great.
All right, Mike.
Take care, Scott.
Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Those are good people. Hey, with Christmas just about 4.5 shopping days away, you don't have to go away, Joe. You can come back in here. Christmas, you're counting down this week, Friday. You got that list? You need some help. Count on the folks at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center to help you get through it with great gifts plus home and party decor. There's still time to get a real florist quality poinsettia from Sid's Greenhouses. They even deliver throughout the entire Chicagoland area. That's going to save you some time. And in addition to poinsettias, they also have the best custom made-to-order floral gifts in Chicagoland. You know what? You get your list together. You can you call SIDS, and they'll take care of it for you. That's a great thing. SIDS can also help with home party decorating. Why not put a fresh Christmas centerpiece on your holiday table? Plus, SIDS' entire stock of decoration and ornaments is 50 to 75% off this week. And this is before Christmas. Fresh cut trees, wreaths, and garlands. If you're one of those last minute people, get over there. Get your Christmas tree. Don't forget that garlands, they don't stay hydrated as well as trees. So that's always a problem with that. So be careful. I've talked about the real green way to go this season. That's real. SID Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
Hello, we're your Merry Christmas Shoppers. May we help you with your Christmas shopping? We have many fine gift ideas for you.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
Well, thank you. You're grooving, Heather?
Is this Ella Fitzgerald?
No. If somebody can call and tell me who this is...
And they got like 3 minutes.
You got like 3 minutes. Here's an email that just came in. Dear Mike, Heather, Rick, and Kathleen, I just wanted to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you so much for your informative and humorous show. I look forward to listening every week, even if I am half asleep. I know I can count on learning something and starting my Sunday with a laugh. I'm excited about being able to listen to the podcast of the show. I missed when you moved from Gargantua Radio to WCPT. It will be a nice way to spend some cold winter days in front of the fireplace. Hope your holidays are happy and that the new year is greener than ever. Marguerite Malloy, P.S. I would have called into the show, but I'm battling laryngitis. Sorry. Well, Marguerite, I think that's a perfect way to end the holiday show.
We just had a call, too, from a loyal listener, Dan, wishing us the very best this season.
Oh, Dan, I was going to do something. Dan sent me something. Dan Costa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was Dan Costa. He sent me a story about how they cut down a rare Christmas tree in Washington Park Arboretum. The tree was growing in Washington Park. It was not even a spectacular tree. It was almost like a Charlie Brown tree. But they figure it was targeted because of its location out in the open with an easy escape route. It was a rare specimen, and somebody came and just hacked it down. This was in...
Nothing says Christmas like, you know, violating all the forestry laws.
There you go. You know. And then somebody wrote in to this story and said... Well, maybe it was someone who realized it's not indigenous to the country and area, and it's never good to introduce foreign species into a new area. Okay. No, it's an arboretum, folks. It was an arboretum. You don't cut down trees from arboreta.
They're tree museums, if you will.
Yeah.
They have non-indigenous trees rampant, I would assume.
Well, that one didn't take off, apparently, and if it did, nobody would be interested in it. The only people were the arborist there. So listen, thanks to everybody. Heather, thank you. Thanks, Joe Builder and Mike McCarthy and Trixie was out there. And
Mike McCarthy?
I'm sorry,
Mike Sanders.
Mike Sanders. I'm so sorry. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. There's so many mics around here, including me. The guys...
You're never going to live that one
down. Jeez. I'm sorry. Merry Christmas to everyone. Merry Christmas! Now I got to go sing. Everybody have a wonderful holiday. We'll be back next week with, probably not a wonderful slice of wonderful life because I can't handle it more than once a year. So, but like I said, I'll post that, and I hope people will have a safe week, okay? Be safe, be happy, have a good time. We'll do this again next week, and then we'll move on towards a new year and see what happens there, too, right? Does that work for you?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks, Heather.